Church, that brings us all the way up to our seventh objective. Jesus can address our opposition. The subtitle for today's message is this: Overcoming Opposition. Overcoming Opposition. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. With all that Jesus can address in our life, I thank God that he also addresses our opposition. That's good news. Now, that's good news if we know what opposition is. See, everything that we call opposition is not opposition. You knew I was going to say that, right? See, consequences are not a form of opposition. If I was a poor employee on my job and my boss got tired of me and fired me, that's not opposition. That's a consequence. See, I can't call the fruit of my doing opposition. I can't call the things that I have done to myself opposition. That's not opposition. Normal incidents due to living is not opposition. I'm on my way to work, running late, have a meeting to go to, trying to make it, get caught at the light. That's not the devil opposing you. That's a normal incident due to not leaving the house on time. Failing to get the things that I want is not opposition. Now, that's a tough one to swallow. Church, in this culture that we live in, this Christianity of gimme, 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 we have to understand that God does not owe us whatever we are lusting after. So the failure to get what I want is not opposition. I don't care what some preachers tell you. I know they're telling you to tell the devil to give you back your stuff. Devil is not opposing us that way. See, because some of us lost our stuff because we didn't pay for our stuff. Some of us lost our stuff because we weren't responsible for our stuff. Some of us never had stuff to lose, so the devil certainly didn't take it away. He's not taking our stuff. That is not opposition. Let me give you the definition of opposition. Opposition means a standing against. A standing against. In the context of this teaching, this is what opposition is. Opposition is that which attempts to oppose, resist, hinder, or prevent God's will for your life. Opposition is that which attempts to oppose, resist, hinder, or prevent God's will for your life. Opposition is a form of adversity. See, this is what happens to us. When Jesus begins to work in our lives, opposition will certainly come. And we need to know that so that we don't become discouraged by the struggle. See, when we finally come to a place where we say, Jesus, I yield. I trust you. When we let Jesus have his way with our life, he begins to address things. He addresses our wrong. He starts to bring our disordered life into order. He starts to remove the confusion in our life. He begins to heal our wounded spirit. He frees us from addiction, and he begins to address our failures. He starts to turn our life around. He makes our life brand new, different than the life that we had. And once he makes our life brand new, he then lays out a new path for us. And on that path is a good life, abundant life, filled with good works. And he says, now that I have turned you around, now that I have made your life different, now I want you to walk on this path. And if you walk on this path, you will experience a good life. If you walk on this path, you will do good works. If you walk on this path, you will have abundant life. It is the path that I prepared for you. It is the way I've always wanted you to live your life. So once Jesus prepares that path, he says, walk in it. That is his will for every believer. Church, for each and every one of us, he has a path for you. Amen. He has a way that he wants your life to progress. He has a way that he wants your life to go. Now, that is not a life that is free from difficulty, but it is a life that is full of joy, peace, contentment, love, fruitfulness, and victory over every evil circumstance. Says, I want you to walk this way. And as you are walking this way, I want you to do the good works that I give you to do. I want you to use your gifts, your talents, your abilities to do good, the good that I give you to do. That's what Jesus does for us. But the adversary seeks to oppose God's will in our lives. He desires that we would abandon our new life, that we would turn and go back to the unrighteousness and bondage that we were delivered from. That's what he desires. See, the adversary couldn't care less if you come to an altar. If he knows that when you leave out that door, you're going to go right back into a world of sin. You can come to the altar every week, every month, for years to come. But what he does not want you to do is be established in your path of righteousness. He wants to oppose that, cause tension and pressure and struggle and stress. Why? So that you can be like the scripture warns, like a dog returning to his vomit, going back to the thing that I was delivered from. See, the adversary is not sending opposition to keep you from getting a job, a house, a car, or a spouse. He doesn't care about your stuff or your things. The adversary sends believers opposition to draw them away from a righteous course of living. He does that because he wants to kill your productivity, take away your peace, steal your joy, damage your life, destroy your witness, and cause you to dishonor God. That's what he does. And whatever the adversary can use to take us off course, church, that's what he will use. That means that opposition can be subtle. It can come from unexpected places. It can come from unexpected people. That's why it's so important to understand what opposition is. See, yes, oftentimes we can recognize opposition, a harassing coworker, someone in my family persecuting me. But sometimes opposition is friendly. See, Jesus understood that. When he told the disciples that he was going to die and go to the cross, Peter rebuked Jesus. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." In other words, he saw that Satan was using Peter in that moment to oppose the will of God for his life. Sometimes opposition is friendly. You don't have to do that. It's okay for you to live this way. I think you are all right. Sometimes opposition looks good, smells pretty. Sometimes opposition is handsome. smooth talking, says all the right things. Sometimes opposition looks a lot like what my flesh likes. Sometimes opposition, if I look carefully and closely enough, sometimes opposition is on the inside of me. When I look at my heart and I see that I have been murmuring and complaining against God, and I've allowed unbelief to taint my heart, causing me to distrust God, and so now I am complaining. My life was better before I gave my life to Christ. I didn't struggle like this before I gave my life to Christ. I'm trying to do right and look at what's happening to me. See, opposition is developing on the inside of me. Opposition is subtle. And if I don't recognize it and overcome it, opposition will overcome me. And despite all that Jesus has done for me, I'll find myself in a backslidden condition. See, church, that's why we need to stop wasting our time rebuking the devil because our tire went flat. Stop rebuking the devil for the normal occurrences of life and pay attention to those things that would draw me away from my faith. Those things that would cause me to turn away from God. Go back to the life that he delivered me from. That's my opposition. Can Jesus address my opposition? Yes, he can. He can and he has. Jesus, after doing everything that he has done for us, has given us everything we need to overcome opposition. Let's look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Jesus is talking to the disciples and he is preparing them for his death on the cross. And in preparing them, Jesus is letting the disciples know you're going to have some opposition. See, Jesus had given them a responsibility. He knew that after he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, that the disciples would have the responsibility to witness what they saw. But he also knew that opposition was coming. And so he speaks to them. John chapter 14, let's start at verse 15. He says, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus is saying, if you love me, keep my commandments, obey my word, obey the word that I have given you. Part of what Jesus was saying is obey the gospel message that you receive. Trust in me. And if you trust in me, my Father and I will come make our abode in you. How will the Father and the Son live on the inside of me? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Through the Comforter. And so this is what Jesus promises to the disciples. How did he bring it to pass? He brought it to pass by suffering on the cross. He died for our sins so that our sins could be dealt with, washed away, buried in the tomb, rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, sat on the right hand of the Father. And now that we have been forgiven, he says, I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to send him back to who? To those who believe. Those who put their trust in me. See, Jesus knew that after he cleansed us, if he didn't give us help, we would turn right back. After he washed us, if he didn't give us power that we did not have, we would backslide. And so he sent us the Holy Ghost. So when the gospel message was preached and I believed on Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, came and washed my sins away. But he didn't just wash me. He took up residence on the inside of me. And he lives in me.